Okay, so you know, like when you're really craving something special, not just like I want pizza special, but like an experience.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I feel like we're diving into today. Sushi Hunamakase in Vancouver.
Okay.
This blog post you sent me has me fascinated and a little terrified of the bill.
Yeah.
$300 for sushi is a whole different league.
It's a whole different world, actually. See, omakase isn't just ordering off a menu,
Right.
it's trusting the chef to curate a meal just for you. Imagine the freshest, most interesting ingredients prepared with some serious skill, each dish kind of telling a story.
Okay, that does sound incredible. But the blog post did mention a corridor entrance and this whole sacred temple of sushi vibe.
Yeah.
Is that part of the experience, or am I getting a little too Emperor's New Clothes vibes from this?
What's interesting is how the design sets the stage. Think about a tea ceremony, right? It's ritualistic, it's focused, and this minimalist design, the handcrafted tableware the blog mentioned, it's all about heightening your senses and making you really present for the food.
So you're saying they're not just charging extra for fancy plates. It's about ambiance.
Yeah,
I can get behind that.
exactly. But let's talk about the food itself.
Okay.
This blog raved about the cohada or gizzard shad.
Okay.
It's a fish that, if not prepared perfectly, can be overwhelmingly fishy, which to me is a bold move for a chef to even put on an omakase menu.
It's like saying, trust me, I know what I'm doing right.
Precisely. And when it's done well, it's supposed to be this clean, almost sweet flavor. And this blog made it clear the chef nailed it. Speaking of nailing it, did you catch the part about the amberjack with the 10-year-old Korean salt?
Okay, that's where I thought they were making stuff up for the gram.
Right.
10-year-old salt.
Right.
Is that even a thing?
Oh, it's a thing.
Really?
It's definitely a thing. It's not just any salt, though.
Right.
This aging process creates a depth of flavor, a certain roundness. Imagine the difference between table wine and like a perfectly aged vintage. This attention to detail, even with something as simple as salt, speaks volumes about the chef's philosophy.
And maybe explains why I'm considering a second mortgage to try this place.
Oh.
Joking, sort of. But seriously, the blog mentioned how quickly the meal flew by, 2.5 hours, but it
Whoever.
felt like a whirlwind of flavors.
Yeah.
That typical of a good omakase?
It's a testament to the chef's skill in pacing the meal. Like a good story, a good omakase has a rhythm, quiet moments, crescendos, all building towards a satisfying finish.
Okay.
This blog compared Sushi Hyun to Bar Maumee, which apparently felt a bit too slow.
Which makes sense, right? It's like the difference between a leisurely stroll, a heart-pumping sprint. They both get you to the end, but the energy is different.
Precisely. And omakase isn't just about the food. It's
Right.
about that energy, that connection with the chef. The blogger talked about the chef's passion, how it felt like being let in on a secret. That intimacy is amplified when you have only 6 seats in the entire restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of intimacy, let's talk about the price tag again. $300. I mean, I love sushi, but is it ever really worth that much?
That's the question, isn't it? It's like buying art. You're not just paying for the canvas and paint. You're paying for the skill, the vision, the emotional response it evokes.
You're paying for this story, right?
Exactly. And with omakase, you're investing in a fleeting experience. The memory of those perfectly balanced flavors, the artistry of each dish, the feeling of being truly present in the moment. Some might find it extravagant, but for others, it's an experience worth saving for.
So it's like you're buying a memory, but a delicious once-in-a-lifetime memory.
Exactly. And just like with art, the value is subjective.
Yeah.
Some people are happy with a poster, others want like the original masterpiece on their wall.
Okay, that's actually a great analogy. And
Yeah.
it makes me think, if I'm going to invest in that culinary masterpiece experience, what should I really be paying attention to? Like, what makes or breaks a good omakase?
That's a great question. It's multifaceted, of course. The quality and freshness of the ingredients are paramount. But beyond that, it's the chef's skill in selecting and preparing each element, their mastery of technique and flavor.
And this blog, they raved about the chonmushi at Sushi Hun.
Yes.
What is that? Some kind of custard.
Yes. It's a savory egg custard, often steamed and seasoned with things like soy sauce, dashi mirin. Think of it as a palate primer, a gentle introduction to the symphony of flavors to come.
So everything has its place. This is making me realize that a good omakase is more than just a meal. It's an art form.
Absolutely. It's about precision balance
Yeah.
and that intangible connection between the chef, the ingredients, and the diner.
It's like a culinary dance with the chef leading the way.
Exactly. And just like a dance, it should flow seamlessly from one course to the next, each element building upon the last.
This is making me think differently about sushi, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So for our listener out there, we've explored the ins and outs of omakase, the artistry, the exclusivity, and yes, the hefty price tag.
Right.
But ultimately, the question remains, is it worth it? And that's for you to decide. Perhaps this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, or maybe you're content with your usual sushi spot. Either way, we hope you've gained a new appreciation for the craft and the experience that is omakase. And hey,
yeah.
If you ever do find yourself at Sushi Un, let us know if that 10-year-old salt lives up to the hype.
Yeah, let us know.